I was chatting to someone earlier in the week, or it might be in the end of last week, and they were saying that they're unable to come at the moment, and they've been watching online. And so what I promised was, when I next came up onto the stage, I'd wave. Because what they said was, every week they wave, and nobody waves back. And sadly, yes, JJ, they won't see you because they're only looking at me, because that's all they can see. But it's great to know that we can keep in touch with one another through the wonderful means that is our webcasting, our internet. And so, for the second time, and for those of you who caught some of my sermon this morning, I'll leave you to work out which bits are different. As I once again talk about our theme for the day, holy being. A discipleship explored on Monday evening. We looked at the passage, Philippians 3, verses 1 to 9, and we looked at our righteousness in Christ. We talked about how often we can still get caught up in believing that God only accepts us because of the way that we live our life, because of the good things that we do, or perhaps the bad things that we don't do. We talked about sometimes, even though we don't necessarily use this language, we compare ourselves with others and we think, well, we're better than they are. We're more holy than they are because we don't live like that. But of course, that's not what it's about. We are God's children, not from something that we have done, but from what God has done for us. And yes, as a response to that, we seek to live out the life that God calls us to. That holy life that we've been looking at throughout this year. But actually, the important thing to remember, week by week, day by day, is that our righteousness comes from God. As a gift from God, because of God's Son coming to earth and dying on that cross for us. And that gift has been given to us freely. If we continue through the New Testament, we are reminded in Colossians and in 1 Peter that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation belonging to God. So surely then, if we are a holy people by right of our faith, by the righteousness that comes from God, surely that makes us holy beings, and that is our theme for today, holy beings. Then how is that any different to any of the other themes that we've been looking at over the last few weeks? Holy priorities, holy diaries, having holy relationships, living holy lives. A minister sat down in his office one Monday morning. He turned his computer on and the emails began pinging in. The calendar reminders popped up on his screen of the places he needed to go to and the things he needed to do and the things that were outstanding. In his hand, he held a list of the things that the church members and the people who'd been going past him on a Sunday morning had been telling them that he needed to do that week. There was a need and he needed to respond. And on that Monday morning, as he sat in his office with all this stuff bombarding him, he had a dilemma. His head and his heart was telling him to spend time in prayer and to read his Bible. But the pressures and the expectations upon him were telling him he should be doing something different. In fact, he realized he felt guilty for wanting to spend time in prayer and wanting to spend time reading his Bible when there was expectations from everybody else on how he should use his time. And then he realized that nothing actually could be more important than to spend time dwelling with God, to spend time praying for his flock, because that was what he'd been called to do. A moment for him of realization. But how many of us, when we are being bombarded by that list of things to do, when we're being bombarded by pressures and expectations from other people, find it so hard to stop and to take time out with God. And as I've been seeking God for this morning, this theme of holy beings, this phrase has come back again and again to me. Are you a holy being or a holy doing? Are we a holy being or are we holy doings? There's that sense, isn't it, that our Christian walk is all about what we do. There's that sense of trying to be all to all people. And yet, in the midst of that, we forget that God calls us to be with him. To be attentive to him, as I talked about with that video clip I showed a couple of weeks ago when Jeff was talking about his what he would do if he was called to be the president of the Baptist Union. If I was to ask you to name a passage in the Bible about where we need to stop and listen to God, I'm sure many of you would say, well, what about Mary and Martha? That passage where Martha's so busy trying to entertain and meet all the requirements of Jesus and his disciples, she was getting really grumpy with Mary, who was sat at Jesus' feet. But that wasn't what I felt God was saying to us today. There are so many times, aren't there, when we push God out. When we find it in ourselves to be too busy to find time for God. And that has been a message that we've heard from this pulpit again and again over the last few weeks. I really got that sense that in the midst of the busyness, we can always find time to be. And that's why I asked for the reading this morning, that reading from Mark's Gospel. That reading where the 12 disciples had been sent out to do, but there was that lovely moment in the middle of that chapter that says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. A few verses in the middle of an action-packed gospel. The gospel of Mark is often focused or considered to be the gospel that is addressed to the Roman audience, the audience that is used to being up and about, the audience of the Romans who are used to conquering and showing authority and busy doing. In fact, the gospel, which doesn't even start with Jesus' birth, but starts with John the Baptist preparing the way and going straight into Jesus' baptism and temptations and then launching into Jesus' ministry. So different from John's gospel, which focuses in on who Jesus was. So different indeed from Matthew's gospel, who was so intent on making sure that the Jewish audience that he was writing to was aware of how Jesus came to fulfill the scriptures of Jesus' birth and his heritage and the history of Jesus. Or of Luke's gospel, looking to talk to a Greek audience and so focus in on where Jesus met with the outcasts and the poor and the sinners and those that weren't welcome by society. But in the midst of this action that we find in chapter 6, this midst of where the disciples had been sent out and then they came back, before the next part of the passage, which we didn't have, which was going on to feed the 5,000, we have this beautiful invitation from Jesus. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. To be rather than to do. So secondly, the importance of being. It's interesting, isn't it? If I'd talked about this a few weeks ago, I would have been talking about how often we're trying to get away from it all. How often we look to book a holiday, perhaps, or go on a cruise ship, or get away from it all, and now we're in a different situation entirely. Perhaps now, when we're thinking about how do we stop the busyness of all that's going on, is that by staying at home? But some of us are going to be forced, perhaps, to be staying at home. We just don't know, do we? Our situation is so different now. But in all that we do, today or in this week, we need to find time to sit or to pause or just to take breath. To find a refuge or a sanctuary, to accept that invitation from Jesus to come by ourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. By breathing and pausing, we can be recharged, ready for the next part of our doing. Because yes, our Christian walk is about being, is about doing. But it's also about being. Being with God. Allowing God to infiltrate us through. And for the disciples, this moment of being was when they went with Jesus in a boat to a solitary place. There are so many examples, aren't there, in the Bible of that pausing. We know that Jesus himself took moments away from everybody else and went into the mountains and prayed. If we go back to the beginning of the Bible, we know that God, and he created the world, created the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals of the land and the sea and the sky. And on the seventh day, he rested. As the Israelites were being taken through the desert, we know that they were complaining and God sent them food for every day. But on the sixth day, he provided them with food for 2 days so that on the seventh day, they would rest. Our Ten Commandments, again, reinforce that, making sure that there is an opportunity to rest. We might think we haven't got time to rest for an entire day. And we don't get that sense in this passage from Mark, that they went away with Jesus for an entire day. But we get the sense in this passage from Mark to come away and just be with Jesus. Perhaps more of us need to find those moments, as Jeff was talking about on the video with the kingfisher a couple of weeks ago, just to find the ways that we can become more attentive to God, to hearing his voice in the midst of our busyness. Perhaps more of us need a Jethro in our lives. Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses. I don't know what your relationship is like with your father-in-law, or as a father-in-law, what your relationship is like with your daughter or son-in-law. But for Moses and for Jethro, we see there's a really good relationship between them. Again and again, you see examples of how good that relationship was. And Jethro came and joined Moses in the desert and was listening to him, telling, as Moses told them all about what God had been doing and how grumpy the Israelites had been and how God had provided for them. And he went on to watch Moses during a typical kind of day. And then Jethro said to him, "What you're doing is not good," in Exodus 18. "You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." That would have taken courage from Jethro. It takes courage to stop and be with God. It takes courage to realize the importance that our relationship with God is more important than the pressures that are upon us, and to be faithful to that. And I do think that so many of us have forgotten simply how to be. It's not helped by the kind of world in which we live now, where 24 hours, 7 days a week, we can access what we want when we want, and we get grumpy when we can't get it. We do get grumpy when we go to the supermarket and can't get our toilet rolls or our pasta or our hand or whatever it may be. Because with the swipe of a button or through the shops of the door, whether we're going in the morning, the middle of the afternoon, or even overnight, we expect things still to be there. We expect that we can go and fill our cars up with fuel or get to our destination. We almost have forgotten what it was like when we see to ring us during the office hours of 9 till 5, because many of us are working shifts or work through the night or working at different patterns. Even our seasons of the year seem to have forgotten that there's a spring and a summer and an autumn and winter, because all the seasons somehow seem to have merged together because of the kind of world in which we live at the moment. And how much poorer are we as a result? How much poorer are we because because we've caught ourselves up with the rest of the world, busy doing, and forgetting to breathe, to stop, to pause, to recharge. Maybe for you this week, this is the only moment that you're planning on doing that. Even maybe you're watching this at home and you're busy doing while you're watching the service. It's not what God is wanting for us. It's not good for us. None of us are indispensable or invincible. God calls us to be. In order that when we do, we're doing it out of a sense of wellness in ourselves, out of a strength of a relationship after spending time with God. But the disciples, yes, they did go away with Jesus in a boat, and probably some of them were still having to work as people getting the boat to wherever it was going, or whether it was even just sitting in the middle of the lake while the disciples and Jesus spent time together. Maybe some of them took that time just to go to sleep, or to swap stories, or to excitedly tell Jesus about all that had been going on. But in that moment, however long that moment was, it was their opportunity to come away with Jesus and take some rest. To pause, to restock, to renew, to simply be. And then we carry on with the passage, and we see in verse 33 that many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And yes, the moment Jesus landed, his heart went out to him and he began teaching. And we know that the disciples were charged with feeding these 5,000 men and women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But they did it out of a richness of having spent time with Jesus first. Are we a holy being or a holy doing? And if we're doing, is our well of sufficient quality that we're doing it out of a richness of our relationship with God? So thirdly, taking stock. If we want to be ready for the next thing, if we want to be ready to live these holy lives where we are busy doing, we need to do it reminding ourselves that God is holy and he calls on us to be holy. And in order to be holy, we need to have dwelt with him. If you turn to the psalm that we had at the beginning that Shel read for us, it gives us an outline of the things and a list of behaviours of how perhaps we should be living. It tells us how to do right rather than wrong, how to care for our neighbours, how to be faithful in our actions. And there's many other ways that it tells us there about how the psalmist was reminding themselves as to how to live. But notice verse 1 of the psalm. It starts with 2 questions. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? For the people of Israel, they believed that where God dwelt, they could not approach because the place was too holy for them. Whether it was the mountain where Elijah had to cover his eyes as God came past, in the wind and the storm and the thunder, Elijah covered his eyes and God spoke to him in the quiet voice. They believed that God dwelt with them in the temple, and it was only on the Day of Atonement that the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies and meet with God on their behalf. Because up until that point and the rest of the year, they could not approach because God was too holy for them. He was beyond their reach, outside of their abilities. And so no wonder when we read this psalm, do we get that sense of, actually, we can't come close to God, although we need to be living out a life which is according to God. But for us, now, we know that when Jesus came, he tore down that curtain in the temple. He's opened up access to God. And yes, God is holy, but he calls on us to live those holy lives. And even more so, if we think about it, our lives, we are told, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so the way we're living our lives should reflect our holy God. And so what we're filling our minds with, our hearts with, our lives with, should be honoring to God in order to live a holy life. And in order to do that, we need to be. We need to spend time with God. I used the verse last time from Philippians 4, verse 8, reminding us we need to feed our minds with things that are noble and pure and true, because if we don't, and if we do fill them with harmful images and with gossip and with corrupting influences, what will happen is we'll end up living a life where we're judgmental about others, where we're showing negativity, where we're critical of others. And that's not what God has called us to do, to called us to be as we live our holy lives. He wants us to be living lives that are showing and displaying the fruits of the Spirit. When were you last joyful? When were you last able to show self-control or your love or the kindness or the other fruits that we see? In order to do that, we need to dwell with God, to come away with him, to be, to take our rest, to breathe, to be renewed, to be recharged, in order to go on and to do. I don't know how you do that. I only know sometimes how hard I find it. But I also know that that's what we're called to do. To spend our time, to just make time, to come away with Jesus and to take some rest. Find a place of sanctuary and of refuge. To pause in order to continue to do that which God has called us to do. Are you a holy being today, or a holy doing? And is your doing coming from that well which has come out of a spring where God has been able to fill us and strengthen us and refresh us and restore us? Or is it coming out of an empty well where we're so exhausted, we're unable to do as God would want us to, because we found no time to be? Let's pray. That invitation with the words from Jesus was, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And so now, Lord, in the midst of this quiet, we open ourselves to your refreshment. Come upon us, Lord, we pray. Restore us, Lord, we pray. Recharge us and renew us and refresh us, so that when we leave this place, we have indeed paused and focused on you. Forgive us, Lord, when we've not done that. Forgive us, Lord, when our attitudes have been such that have come from lives where we've turned away from you and have failed to spend time with you. When we failed to be attentive, when we failed to accept that invitation. Lord, you know each of our days, each of our nights. You know those times when we can and when we need to be. Help us, Lord, to recognize those for ourselves, to find time to accept that invitation to come with you and take rest, ready for what we have next. Amen.